Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
Hello, 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 hello. There you go. That's it.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Dermot. Eventually, good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551 ray@rte.ie. Great lineup today over in Studio 8. We have royalty of Irish folk music. Andy Irvine is waiting over there to play us a few tunes and have a bit of a chat. And I'm really looking forward to that. We have Eurovision royalty here in front of me in Studio 7 in a few minutes' time. Linda Martin is going to be here. And then after 4 o'clock, Mary Byrne and Eilish O'Carroll. Light entertainment royalty, you'd call them. X Factor and Mrs. Brown's Boys and loads of other things. And they're coming together for a play, a funny play. Waiting for Gatto. Yes, you heard me correctly. Gatto as in French for cake, as opposed to Waiting for Godot, which is a Samuel Beckett play. So Waiting for Gatto, they're going to star in that and they'll be telling us all about that and other things. So that's the lineup today. It's a great lineup. Yesterday, we had a very short chat with Debbie Deegan and technology let us down. Debbie is the founder of the charity To Children With Love, which was based in Russia. And we spoke to her before about that and they did amazing work with orphans in Russia. Anyways, she's been using her connections to help Ukrainian refugees come to Ireland. One lady she started to tell us about yesterday is an 86-year-old woman named Violetta from Odessa. And Debbie helped her to get from Odessa to Dublin Airport and on to the West Coast. So she Ukraine, Moldova, Romania, Austria, and then eventually on to Dublin Airport. And when Debbie met her at Dublin Airport, Debbie has a little bit of Russian. Violetta was going, I need my friend. I left my friend behind. I need my friend. And finally, they worked out that the friend was a dog. Violetta's dog, Tasha, a 12-year-old black Labrador. So Debbie went about using her contacts again to get Tasha, the 12-year-old black Labrador, from, I think it was Moldova, over to Ireland. So it's on a farm near Birmingham at the moment. And this weekend, a man called John Darcy, no relation, is going to travel via ferry. Is it via or via ferry to Holyhead? He's going to collect Tasha and bring her back to Ireland and back to Violetta. And there will be a very emotional reunion, I would imagine. Now, John is a man we spoke to before about another dog, his dog called Gertie. And you might remember it years ago down in Waterford. And Gertie got stranded on a ledge off a cliff and was heroically rescued, but I think by the Coast Guard. You can put me right on that one. So John knows about rescuing dogs, so he's the right man for the job. And he's doing that on his own time. So good luck with that, John. And let us know, everybody, how Tasha and Violetta get on when they're reunited. That's a lovely little story. And there's loads of little stories like that going on. And it's important that we tell those stories as well as the horrific stories, because there are so many horrific stories. But there's kindness, human kindness going on. Loads of it. Yesterday as well, we spoke to Patricia Ward Kelly. And she was telling us about her husband, Gene Kelly. She was married to him for 10 years before he died. And she's keeping his memory very much alive. Gene Kelly was an Irish citizen. And Patricia Ward Kelly wants to become an Irish citizen. She was wondering about her ancestry. Well, Frank Connolly got on to us to tell us about the Kellys. And he's told us that he knows all about the Kellys. Did you know, he says, that Taigmul O'Callig led the largest contingent of troops after Brian Boru's own Kinkora army to Clontarf at Easter 1014. That's the sort of information he has. And he also says that they were the O'Kellys' kingdom was next door to Ballymacward. Now, this is interesting because Ballymacward, translated into Irish, is Ballyvic an Vord, the homeland of the son of the bard, and that's where the name Ward comes from. So even back then, the Wards and the Kellys were together, and that's something that Patricia would be very interested in knowing. So we're going to pass on Frank's details to Patricia, and she'll be able to follow that up, which is great. Laura de Barra was on the other day and just we got loads of emails in, and it always amazes me how interested people are in cleaning. But they are, and people love to, you know, a good clean. It's good for the soul, isn't it? You can stand back, put your hands on your hips and go, I did that. And the whole room, whether it be the bathroom, the kitchen or the bedroom, looks fresh. Anyway, Anne says, just wants us to pass on a thank you to Laura for her tips on sorting out the silicone in the shower. She was convinced she could get the mould off the silicone herself. But now I realise I've got to get a silicone gun and go for it. We'll report back. Please do, Anne. Keep us posted. And Sonia says, Laura is fab. I want Laura to move in with me. And when Laura was on the other day, if you didn't hear, she was talking about things you can do to, you know, rejuvenate your bedroom, and the pillows came up for conversation. And I was telling her about my pillow, which is flat and mangy, but I love it. And coincidentally, there's a big story today. Well, not a big story, but a story. JustWhoIt.com are seeking someone to travel around the UK working as their chief pillow tester. There's a job for you, chief pillow tester. The hotel booking website were informed through independent research that 88% of people fail to get a restful night's sleep when staying in hotels, and they want the discussion on what hotels offer the comfiest head cushions put to bed. So they're looking for the best pillows in the UK in hotels. Applicants will get a two-night stay at any of the 52 hotels offered on JustWhoIt.com. See, there's a problem there, because as we established the other day, and I think you'll agree, pillows, it's about personal taste. Like, I'm not a plump man. I don't go for a plump pillow, something like a marshmallow that you sink into. I prefer mine flat, nearly non-existent, with no plumpness whatsoever, no character. I just about keeps the head up off the mattress, just about. And then other people like them big and plump. Other people like two or three pillows. So how possibly can somebody go around? It's just their opinion. It's and it may not suit everybody. But anyway, just who are looking for a pillow tester. A pillow tester. That's a job. I was watching the Jimmy Savile documentary last night. Now, I've not finished it. And it's talk about hiding in plain sight. And we were talking to Trish Carney the other day about George Gibney. And these people, pillars of the community, hiding in plain sight. And there were so many clues and hints along the way about Jimmy Savile and what he was up to. But nobody spotted it. Nobody wanted to spot it. Anyway, as I was watching that last night, I'll finish it off over the weekend, and maybe we might have somebody on next week to talk about it. When you pause Netflix, it suggests other things to watch. You know, so you pause it there to go to the loo or make a cup of tea or put the kids to bed or get a bowl of popcorn, and then they have suggestions for you, probably some algorithm. Anyway, this thing came up, old enough. And there's a little, it looks like a Japanese or a Chinese child walking along the footpath, and I just wonder what that is. Anyway, Patrick Frayne is writing about it in the Times today, and it's I have to watch some of this. It's possibly one of the weirdest concepts for a show I've ever seen. It's a retitled Japanese mini documentary series where children aged 2 to 6 are sent out to do errands all by themselves, and apparently it's wildly popular in Japan. It's in the genre of entertainment documentary. Originally called My First Errand. So toddlers are sent out into the world completely alone. It's been running for 30 years, with 2 3-hour shows being shown each year. And 1/5 of all Japanese viewers tune in. So it's huge, huge. The length between episodes can be explained by the sheer level of preparation they have to put in. So all the errand routes are inspected by parents and production staff to check for dangerous roads or suspicious persons. The children are chosen after laborious selection process, like auditions and all that sort of thing. And it looks like hidden cameras. So they set them off to go to the shop and get something, and they follow them, but with hidden cameras. It's odd. Anyway, I'll have to watch that over the weekend. Old Enough is the name of it. It's worth it, just out of curiosity. Yeah, your curiosity will be piqued. You'd be intrigued by that. 5 on 551 Ray at RTE.ie. I'll tell you about our quiz in a moment. But just to get you ready for Andy Irvine, this is from Plankton's first album, around 1972 or 73. And this is Andy doing the vocals on Arthur McBride. Good afternoon. Arthur McBride, Andy Irvine, in the company of Donal Lunny, Christy Moore, and Liam Og O'Flynn. Planksy. And we'll be talking to Andy, and he'll be playing us a couple of tunes in a few minutes' time. Well, about 15 minutes' time. Now, on pillows, I'm the pillow technician in my house, as Maeve. It's a thing. Responsibilities include plumping up, best structural arrangement for reading, sleeping, correct pillowcases. Well done, Maeve. Pillow technician. That's the perfect job for you. And wrong. You haven't slept until you've slept on 2 nice pillows. Personal choice, Una. I realised listening to Laura yesterday that I haven't changed my pillows in probably 10 years. The shame. Well, if it works for you, that's fine. Jackie says some hotels have pillow menus. Very posh. You can choose a fat one or a flat one to your liking. Great idea, says Jackie. And saw Andy in Limerick in the 70s. Mighty stuff, says Declan. Now, I better tell you about our quiz. Reel in the ears, looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock. Two of you to come on and answer three questions on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize. And this week, thanks to the people in the Kilkenny Hibernian Hotel, we've a two-night stay for two people to give away. And the hotel is in the heart of Kilkenny City, bringing together a beautifully restored building just footsteps away from Kilkenny's main attractions and some chic contemporary additions to create a cosy and vibrant hotel full of character. So a two-night stay and dinner on one evening in the Brasserie in the Kilkenny Hibernian Hotel. Two people after 4 o'clock. Here's your qualifying question. Tiger Woods is back in action after 14 months at the Masters in Augusta this week. What sport is he playing? Unless he's changed codes. Tiger Woods is back in action after 14 months at the Masters in Augusta this week. What sport is he playing? 0818715925. 0818715925. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Quick commercial break.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Do you not believe me when I tell you I always like talking to you, Linda Martin? I said that to her off air and she started laughing. Why? You're very cynical. Anyway, great to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. So you're putting together a Eurovision concert.
Yes, it's a winner's concert. And yes, it's happening on Monday, the 25th of April, in the beautiful Pro Cathedral, the centre of Dublin.
Wow, what a venue.
It's an incredible venue. I mean, the sound in it, you know, you almost don't need a PA system, but it's beautiful. And we've done a few of them in the past, all pre-COVID, of course. And then we had to lay off and sit back on our backsides like everybody else. But this time, it's all happening for us. And we've got all the Irish winners. And then a little bonus, because Secret Garden, you remember they won for Norway?
Yes.
But our lovely Fionnuala Sherry was on violin. And I'm always in contact with
her. So she won
her
for Ireland and Norway. Did she play with Emer Quinn or not?
No,
did she not?
No, I wouldn't swear by it, but I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. But anyway, I'm always in contact with Fionnuala anyway, because I know her since her days in the RTE Orchestra.
Yes.
And I was telling her about this. I says, what are the chances? Let me check the tour date, she said. And right enough, she came back to me a couple of days later. She says, we'll all come in. So flying in on the day.
So all the Irish winners and a Norwegian winner.
And a Norwegian
winner. It's an international concert.
Listen, it's just incredible and the response has been unbelievable. Yeah. So we've got Johnny doing You Raise Me Up with Secret Garden. You've got Niamh, Dan and myself doing one of the ABBA songs. You know that one, That's What Friends Are For. You know the thing. I won't torture you by singing a line of it now. But
go on.
No.
and do you sing in the shower?
No. I don't sing in the shower.
Why? Because you only sing when you get paid, is that
it? No, but I don't even think I'd be in it long enough to start a song. But we've got a fantastic organist. Ronan Murray does that for us. We've got Sean Gilligan's Gospel Choir, who are amazing and will back everybody. And we have a young 16-year-old called Anna Carney, and she was the Junior Eurovision representative a couple of years ago. And she's,
what a lineup!
It's absolutely incredible. There's something there for everybody.
Yes, yeah.
And we've people coming in from the UK, and we've people coming in from Germany, especially because obviously with the Eurovision
when
connection.
It comes to a Eurovision concert, we're the country that can do it the best.
Absolutely.
Because we still have the record of the most winners.
Yes, and I just wish we could multiply that a good few times.
Yes. Well, I think this year we have the best chance in a long time.
She's bright.
Yeah.
She's young. She's smiley. She sings very well. And if Lady Luck is with her, she'll get through. Now, at this stage, I haven't heard any of the other songs now, so I can't actually say who I think would be winning. But on the what's coming back to me is that we'll get through, and that's brilliant.
We haven't done that in a while.
No, we haven't.
No.
And I'm told that Italy are very strong this year by the same two guys who won the Sanremo Song Contest this year.
Right. And it's in Italy, it's in Turin.
Yes, it is.
Yes, yeah.
Beautiful city.
Because we won it back to back a few times. Was it how many
times?
Yes,
we did. Yes. There was myself, then Niamh.
Yes, and then the lads.
And then the lads. Yeah. And then we skipped, and then it was Emer.
Yeah.
And then we had Secret Garden, which was pretty much Irish anyway. Yeah.
So we won it 3 out of 4 years.
Absolutely.
Oh, the golden years, the halcyon days.
Listen, we could do it again.
Well, let's just remind people about Brooke, and this is our entry this year.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I like it.
Yes.
Do you know what has happened over the last few years is that the Eurovision has got credibility again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you look at the last year's winners, like they were top of the Spotify global charts for a long time.
But you know something, Ray? They had just won the San Remo Song Contest as well. And they'd been finalists with the Italian X Factor, that's what it was.
Right.
Or Italy's Got Talent,
did
one of those
CV,
things.
Did a good CV.
They were really well known. Yeah. Really well known. Now, I didn't see that win coming. I saw the guy coming out, no shirt on him, and I'm thinking, no, that's not for me. Probably too old for that, you know. But then suddenly the public votes. Yeah. And I imagine it was probably their following. The young ones were following.
I think they're going to like Brooke.
I think so. I think so. Very best of luck to her anyway.
But even to get to the final.
Correct.
Because then we can have the, you know, the popcorn and whatever on the Saturday night.
That's the way it should be.
Yes,
that
should
is
be.
The
yes,
way it
yeah,
should
yeah,
be.
Yeah.
It should be a fun evening.
Did I hear that you want Johnny to come out that and write something for you and do a duet? And what? Is that a thing?
I was only talking to him the other day, and he just said to me, "Would you ever?" And I, it's not me. It's the fans. It's Eurovision fans, and this is something that they would like. So they say to me, "When are you going to go into the song contest again?" And I say, "Well, only if Johnny writes a duet, and I'm going to be the one singing with him." So it's a very flippant sort of retort to them, if you like. But of course, it gets back to him. I hear you're writing a song, and you and Linda are going to sing it. You see, so I mean,
is there any truth in it at all?
No,
I'd go on.
All right. Well, yes. Listen, no better man.
Yeah, and then no better woman as well.
Listen, can you imagine those Eurovision fans? They'd go crackers. They really would.
I've seen the reaction. Now, I haven't seen the reaction to you, but we were in Helsinki, I think, a good few years ago, and Johnny arrived in.
Yeah.
And we were in this big cavernous warehouse in a place where all the press were hanging out.
Yes.
And it was like, so he came in the door, and then it was like a snowball coming down the side of a hill, you know, gathering momentum. And everybody, and by the time he got over to us, he had this like 20 or 40 people.
Perfect.
And then he sat down with the guitar and started singing "What's Another Year?" And
absolutely. No better man.
No better man. Yeah, no better man. So he's going to be singing "You Raise Me Up."
Yes.
Monday, April 25th in St. Patrick Cathedral. And it's for
St. Mary's Pro Cathedral.
Sorry, St. Mary's Pro Cathedral. Yeah. Sorry, St. Mary's Pro Cathedral, right. St. Mary's Pro Cathedral.
And it's selling extremely well, thankfully.
Yeah.
And we've lots of people on board, given the usual thing. I was going to say hamsters there, men hampers, you know, for the raffle prizes and things. And we have Real Life Beauty products on board with us again.
What are you going to sing?
I'm doing Why Me.
Yes.
I'll be doing Take Me to Your Heaven, Tutte Reconnaitre. That was Anne-Marie David. She's a friend of mine as well. You see, the Eurovision winners, they're like a little family. We all know each other.
And we meet
up in festivals in Europe and TV shows and all that sort of stuff. And we all talk the usual rubbish, you know, but it's great.
And you've had a significant birthday.
Have I? If you say that, Ray Darcy, I'll never speak to you again.
I thought he had said it to you.
Who was winding you up? Shut up.
I thought he had said it.
Shut up. And I had a party to match.
Did you?
Oh, my God. On a Sunday.
A significant party as well for a significant birthday.
A Sunday night. Yes. We were in a place and I can't remember where or where or what it was called, but the chef cooks in front of you.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does tricks with the little
knives,
spatulas
and everything like that.
And you drink at the same time.
Right, okay.
And I'm not a wonderful drinker.
Hopefully
but
he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. We did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was only women there. It was a whole gang of us out.
Right.
And see, next morning, oh, sweet. You know the story. I'm a rubbish drinker, but my head sort of, I paid for it the next morning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Do you know who who's getting the profits of the Eurovision concert?
You're going to tell me.
I love Peter McVerry. Oh my God, that man, the respect I have, and everybody else, the respect that they have for that man. So he benefits. Dogs Aid, I've been a patron of that animal charity for many, many, many years. They benefit, and another charity called Blossom. So we dish out the money, you know, so great. It's great.
Eventbrite.ie. It's called Eurovision Voices. You've heard the description. Now you can go and buy your tickets. I have to ask this question every time you're in, not what age you are, but how many dogs you have.
Oh, at the moment, 13.
Right.
Actually, you know me, Ray.
And all by name. All by name.
All by name. I have them all. And some of them at this stage are very old. But all rescues, I have to say. Yes, all rescues. Yeah. And the biggest one is a Rottweiler who is a slob. They have a bad rep, but in actual fact, he just rolls over. He's a fool. And the smallest one is a little Chihuahua thingy sort of thing. But I love
him. And everything in between.
I love them.
I would love to see Linda and Johnny doing a duet, says Marty in Cork. I want to see that concert on TV, says somebody else. There you go.
There you go.
And Brooke will go through for sure, says Michael. Yeah,
I hope she does. You know, I really do hope she does. I hope Luck's with her on the night.
Great to see you.
Good luck
with the concert.
Thank you. Yeah, are you coming in?
I'll see.
Ashling is your assistant, or PA, or whatever her title is.
I'll talk to Jenny. Where is it? St Mary's Pro Cathedral?
It's in Marlborough Street, literally behind Cleary's.
Oh, I know where
behind
you are.
Beautiful old church. And there was something else popped in my head there, which I've forgotten about.
I'm going over to Andy Irvine now in Studio 8.
Are you? I'll tell you what I want to do. My friend is going through chemotherapy at the moment.
Yes.
Martin Jones, you're down in Newport in Tipperary.
I know Martin.
You know Martin?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's gone through a lot over the last 6 months, but love to you, Martin. I'm sure you're listening.
Wish you well, Martin. Yeah. Okay. Linda Martin, thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Mind yourselves. See you.
Thank
you. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, we moved over to Studio 8 and we've live music today from Andy Irvine ahead of his 80th birthday celebrations in June. We were all commenting, Andy, I know it's a bit rude, but on how well you look.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Ray. Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to believe you're 80.
Well, I can't believe it either. You know? And the time goes by so quickly that I'll be 90 before I can turn around.
Does it speed up as you get older?
Oh, God, yes.
Does it?
You haven't begun to feel that yet?
I suppose, younger than I am. Well, having children definitely speeds up time.
Yeah. It never slows down. I wondered when I was younger if it sped up, and then when you got really old, whether it slowed down, but I don't think it ever slows down.
Yeah. Well, you're still going at it, and you're going to have in Vicar Street on the June 20th. You had one for your 70th.
Last year, it seems like.
So you're going to get all your pals in to Vicar Street.
Yes, June 20th. Be a bit of a party on the stage there.
Yeah. And you've accumulated a good few pals along the way. I was doing the maths here. I think it's going to be this September. Was it 60 years since you first came to Dublin? Would that be right?
62.
Yeah,
60 years.
That's mad.
Yes.
So you were born in England, but you never considered yourself an Englishman.
I never did. No, my mother was Irish and my father was Scottish, and I was an actor. You know, from a child at an early age. So my school friends looked on me with suspicion.
Because you're an actor,
yeah.
right, and then a lot of your actor friends were Irish, and you came over here and found your tribe, I suppose.
I did, absolutely. I found the life I was looking for, which I had not found in London.
Yeah, which is a nice lead into the first song. We've loads of things to talk about.
Okay,
Aaron's Green Shore. Tell us about this song.
Well, it's a song. It's an Ashling in that it's a man falls asleep.
A dream.
Yes, and has a dream about meeting this beautiful woman who turns out to be Ireland. And she says she's come to awaken her brethren who are slumbering because they need to wake up and see how they can better their lives and the country.
Okay.
So it has a certain modern connotation.
Yes, yeah, right.
No. Yeah. One evening of late, as I rambled by the banks of yon clear purling stream, I sat down by a bed of primroses, and I gently fell into a dream. I dreamed I beheld a fair damsel, her equal I have ne'er seen before, and she sighed upon the wrongs of her country as she strayed upon Erin's green shore. Well, I quickly approached this fair female. My jewel, come tell me your name, for really to me you're a stranger, or I should not have asked you the same. She appeared like the goddess of freedom, and liberty's emblem she wore, decked around with shamrocks and roses that bloom upon Erin's green shore. Well, she quickly replied, I'm a stranger, my mind unto you I'll unfold, and I'm here in the midst of all danger, and I can't tell my friends from my foes. I'm a daughter of Daniel O'Connell, from England I have lately sailed o'er, and I've come to awaken my brethren that slumber on Erin's green shore. But I think you're a true son of Gromia, my mind unto you I'll disclose. Go down to that meeting at Clonmel, and truly your enemies expose. For when you do possess true wisdom, no enemy will come to your door, and the bright star of freedom shall illumine the poor upon Erin's green shore.
That was lovely. That was lovely.
Thank you.
An octave mandola or mandola?
An octave mandola. Well, that's what they call it. I mean, it's all these instruments have kind of various names, and they're all hybrid instruments. And
so, just tell us about that. It's an eight string.
Yes, it's eight strings. This it's got octave strings on it, which I don't normally have on my other instruments, but it's tuned. It's tuned to the same tuning as the bouzouki,
right,
that I would play, except that it's got less of a stretch. And
you were the bouzouki man in Planxty?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I was the mandolin man.
Mandolin,
because,
right.
Because Donald was always...
He was bouzouki.
Tied to the bouzouki.
Right, okay, so you were mandolin, right. I'm interested to know about the politics, the internal politics of Planxty. Do you mind we chat about that for a while?
No, because go ahead.
I played Arthur MacBride there. You did vocals on that.
Yeah.
So that was officially from the first album, but there was a Christy Moore album called Prosperous, which you all played on.
Did we do that on it? Yeah, well, we did. No, we didn't sing that song. Yeah.
No. You did that on the first Planxty. Yeah. What I'm saying is, you all played on Christy's Prosperous album.
Yeah.
But you weren't known as Planxty.
That's right. That was the germination of the band.
Right? Oh, was it? Right. Yeah. Okay. So he sort of asked you, would you play in my album?
Yes.
And then after it, what happened?
Sometime later. Well, the album did very well.
It was
well received. And I think it might have been 3 or 4 months later. He said, Andy, what would you feel about forming a band? And I said, well, I don't know who'll be in it. And he said, well, Donal and Liam. And I said, Liam? He's never going to do that, is he? He said, oh, yeah, he's way into it. So,
and why did you suspect that Liam Flynn
wouldn't
be involved?
Well, Liam was, he wasn't, I mean, to say that he wasn't exactly the same kind of people we were, right, was perhaps, I mean, I think somebody once called us three hippies and a schoolmaster or something like that, which is not quite true.
Yeah, yeah. But, so he was quieter, more reserved.
He was quieter and he was more accepted in the traditional music scene of that time than we were.
Mm. You're a bit more rowdy. It was listening back to you know, Christie's album, which was in effect Planxty's first album. And I know a bit about it. Like, there was a guy came over from England with just two microphones.
That's right, yeah.
And there was a lovely, raw rowdiness about it, wasn't there? Do you ever listen back to it?
I haven't listened to it for a long time, but it was it worked remarkably well in the basement of the house we did it in, with just the two crossed microphones like that.
And you were young and nearly punk-like.
Yeah.
That's what came across to me listening to it.
Yeah.
What age were you at the time then?
Well, I was the oldest. I was... we're talking about 1971. I was 29.
Right.
Yeah.
And you were the eldest of the...
I was, yeah.
And then, so Planxty was formed then out of that.
Yeah.
And for people who don't know, it was recorded, that first album was recorded in the cellar of Andy Rinn's house in Costas.
That's right, yeah.
And were you part of the crew who used to come down for the sessions into Dowling's pub in Prosperous?
No, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. Donal and Liam did that.
Yeah. And Christy.
And Christy, of course, yeah.
And then Andy himself would have played the Bowron, I think.
Who?
Andy Rinn.
Oh, did he on that album?
No, he in the sessions.
Oh, did he? I remember Andy.
That was the connection to the house, you see.
Yeah,
that's where it was recorded.
He was a very fine singer.
Yeah.
When I say was, I'm sure he is, still is.
Yeah. So then Planxty, hugely successful. Like, you know, and I suppose I read somewhere, or maybe I heard you say that, one night you were supporting Donovan, I think it was in Cork or Galway, one of the other cities that isn't Dublin. Yeah. And you got a better reception than he did.
Yes, well, my memory is that with maybe the exception of Dublin, we blew him off the stage every night. It was remarkable. I mean, it was beyond our understanding at the time, and probably still is, that for some reason this was the music that the audience had been waiting to hear. And I mean, it's still a mystery. We never really understood it, but we seem to be the right people in the right place at the right time.
You were delivering, I suppose, traditional Irish music in a modern way. Was that it, or was it that raw energy that I described earlier on, and your youthfulness, and the fact that you were probably three hippies?
It's hard to say. You know, that very first gig in the Hangar Ballroom in Galway. I think the pipes had a lot to do with it. I think, you know, for instance, that crossover between Raggle Taggle Gypsies and Tour Dom
de Love, yeah.
As soon as that happened, and it wasn't a terribly comfortable change.
The album is the opening track, and one segues into the other.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The audience kind of really freaked out at that.
Right, sure.
And they must have heard the pipes before, because, I mean, there were a lot of Ellen Pipers.
I know, but not like that.
Not in that...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
In that staging, yeah. Yeah.
And in a way, it set the scene for everything that's followed since, hasn't it? You know, the Pogues, Riverdance, you know, the list goes on.
It maybe, yes. Well, I would agree with that.
Yeah. And how does it feel? You've been, like, I know we've established that you were born in England, but not an Englishman. But you know, you were a blow-in, and I suppose we in this country we like to remind people that they're blow-ins. And how was it for you, been in the middle of all this maelstrom of Irishness?
Well, you know, I had been around for a while before that. I'd been travelling around Ireland with Sweeney's Men. I don't think I felt any different to the other three. But the one thing I did, that I do remember, was at that first gig, after about 20 minutes, the audience started making a lot of noise. You know, they were kind of, you could feel them kind of... I thought it was a fight, because I'd played in dance halls and I'd seen fights breaking up. You know, they'd start here and they'd gradually go out like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
kind of,
yeah.
And I looked at the rest of the band and they all had smiles like up to here on their faces. And I thought, well, can't be a fight going on. It must be, what can it be? But
And so this amazing, thing to be a part of. And I read in Christie's book, there was it three vans of a convoy? You toured all over Europe, two Fiat vans and one Ford Transit.
Yes.
You had the crew in one, and then you were in one of the vans, and then there was another van with somebody else. And hugely popular. So why then did you split up?
Well, you know, in those days we were permanently on the road. There might be a holiday in October, in September or something like that. But it was every week, 3-4 gigs a week or something like that. After 3 years, it was enough. You know, we felt played out. We'd no time to rehearse new stuff.
Right, and was it amicable?
Oh yes. Right.
And Paul Brady had taken over from Christie.
Yeah,
because Christie had left 18 months previously. And so then you went off yourself and Paul.
Yeah,
and you recorded that brilliant album.
Yeah. Well, you know, Paul and myself got on very well in the band. I think towards the end, the band had fragmented a little bit. I remember playing in France, being in Paris, and somebody was staying here and somebody was staying here, and Paul and myself were staying here.
Right.
So we had a good social arrangement and musical arrangement too. And once we'd kind of split up, we wondered how we were going to earn a living. And we said, well, why don't we try playing as a duo? And after...
And what happened to your man, Christy Moore? How did he... joke.
I don't know. I haven't heard his name for a long time.
One of the things that struck me, which is... So there's a Chuck Forbo, a week residency of Planxty and the Dubliners. Now, there's a movie in that, isn't there? There's definitely a movie in that. Have you any memory of that week?
Yes, I have. I have, because we... we had Nicky Ryan was our sound man, you know, and the Dubliners went on the first night, and Nicky came backstage and he said, "Oh my God," he said, "you know, they're all drunk, and Lucas got the banjo down around his knees," and we were a bit shocked by this. I think Ronnie had been thrown off a horse, so he had a
he was a big horseman, wasn't he?
Yeah,
yeah,
and. So we went on and you know, we played our normal gig and I remember, you know, coming off the stage and seeing them all sitting there, and they were not in good shape.
Were you in sessions with Luke Kelly?
Yeah. There's a lovely old bit of film from the Flack Hill in Clonus in 1964, where Luke is singing the black Asphalt. What was it called? That song he used to sing. And myself and Davy Hammond are accompanying him.
Right.
Yeah. Luke was a good friend. I mean, Luke was an O'Donoghue-er.
Yes,
and
O'Donoghue's yes.
Was where
I heard you singing that O'Donoghue song.
Yeah.
So, and all the names, like, it's just a who's who, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
and I'm always fascinated, you know, because you know we're now talking about it all those years on. What do you think when you're going through it? Have you any idea that this is something special, or this is a moment in time? Obviously, it's a moment in time, but a very specific, special moment in time where very special things are happening.
Well, you know, the gig in the hangar at Ballroom in Galway does stick out. That sticks out in my mind as certainly the biggest adrenaline that I ever got.
Right.
Yeah. The whole O'Donoghue's thing was brilliant, but it was more brilliant when the Dubliners were there. You know, like Ronnie would be holding court and telling stories and whatever. Yeah. That was great. And
in your song O'Donoghue's, you mentioned that he's actually from Dunleary
And you,
yes.
Because he used to do that thing on a radio station, you know, Ronnie Drew, My Dublin, Ronnie Drew.
Yeah.
I think he lived in Wicklow at the time. So that was the joke. Yeah. So so it's the Vicar Street, June 20th, 80th birthday celebrations with Andy Irvine. It's difficult to believe that you are 80. Will Paul Brady be there?
Paul Brady, yeah. Donald Lunny, the band Mosaic, and Usher's Island, Mike McGoldrick, John Doyle. Yeah, we'll have a great time.
Great session. That's what it'll be.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you gonna sing for us now?
Well, I'm gonna sing this song I wrote about Harry Houdini, the great
magician. Escapologist.
Escapologist. Yes. That's what he was. For some reason.
I'm looking forward to hearing you rhyme with something with escapologist.
I'm not sure you might be waiting a long time for that. I always have to play those three chords to find the key. Harry Houdini, the handcuff king. Harry Houdini, the handcuff king. He could escape from nearly anything. The world's admiration, Harry Houdini won it. For if it could be done, Houdini done it. Harry Houdini, Hungarian born, taking the whole wide world by storm, getting out of straitjackets and walking through walls. Houdini could do it if it could be done at all. He took 27 needles and he swallowed them clean. We examined his mouth, not a needle to be seen. Then he swallowed cotton thread, what a magical blend. The needles came out threaded when he pulled on the end. Locked and chained in a casket underwater, holding his breath much longer than he ought to, accepting every challenge and he never would shun it. For if it could be done, Houdini done it. Jumping off a bridge with the big ball and chain, manacled and shackled, sure the man's insane. 10 minutes passed and we thought he must have died. When he came to the surface, it's magic, we cried. 40,000 people witnessed the affair. We cheered, shook hands and threw our hats in the air. And everybody wondered just how he'd overcome it. But if it could be done, Houdini done it. Locked and chained on a big wheel rotating, the buzz of the crowd excitedly waiting. The world's admiration, Harry Houdini won it. For if it could be done, Houdini done it. At Scotland Yard, they locked him in a cell, handcuffed and leg iron, thumb screwed as well. They said they'd be back in an hour or more, but he was free before they'd even reached the door. Oh, Harry Houdini, the handcuff king, he could escape from nearly anything. The detectives, one and all, they were standing around, saying, God help us all if he's ever sent down. Locked and chained and buried alive, the audience afraid that he wouldn't survive. Whatever the risk, Houdini would run it. For if it could be done, Houdini done it.
If it could be done, Houdini did it. There, that's great. That's amazing playing. Amazing playing.
Well, thank you. I made a bit of a mistake there, but we won't worry about that.
I don't think anybody spot that now? Only yourself. You're hard on yourself.
Yeah.
So, in advance, happy 80th birthday.
Thank you very much, Ray. Lovely talk to you.
And 10 years' time,
you're
back sitting here.
Well, you're invited to the 80th, and you can come for the 90th the next day.
Yes, well, thank you for the invitation. We'll head along. Vicar Street, June 20th, Andy Irvine and friends celebrating his 80th birthday and, what, more than 60 years playing music in Ireland and other places, mainly in Ireland. Thanks, Andy. Andy, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thank you, Ray. Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're still in Studio 8. Andy is still here. John says, Andy, I was at a concert in Cork City Hall. Everything is true regarding Planxty and Donovan. Incredible atmosphere. Donovan was a poor leading act after Planxty. And I read somewhere that your manager at the time asked Donovan's manager, could Planxty come on after him to do an encore? Very cheeky. Didn't happen. That's
Well, Des Kelly of the Capital Showband was our manager, a lovely, lovely man. And he had, as we were the support act, he had to go and ask Donovan if we could do an encore. But Donovan could hardly have refused because the audience was crawling up the walls for an encore.
So you did an encore after him?
No, we didn't do an encore after him.
Oh, before him. No. I see.
We wouldn't have done that, no.
Sonia Carey says, my one-year-old loved that song, Erin's Green Shore. Beautiful music and singing. And Megan says, lovely to hear Andy. Planxty were a great group. Such fond memories. That's Megan. So, second goodbye, Andy. Thank you very much.
Thank Anish
Toshi now in the Preskelton, the Nocta, Le Cart to Wallish.
Gurmaga Cart, thank you very much. Have a good weekend. 51551ray@rte.ie. Today is a big day in households around the country in that it's the beginning of the Easter holidays. So, for some people, that's going to strike terror into them because they have to keep the children occupied for 2 weeks. For other people, it'll be a joyous day. 2 weeks with the family. Now, on Andy Irvine, loving the chat with Andy. The arrangement of the first track on Prosperous LP was very new at the time. The change from the song into tune, those chords, the pipes, very exciting and wonderful. I still love it. Happy birthday, Andy, from Manchester. That's Pat there in Manchester. Magic done it, escaping from the chains of eternity. Bretla Hona Andy. That's Natasha. So that's on Houdini. The escapologist. He didn't manage to get escapologist into the lyrics there. Okay, it's time for our quiz. Here we go. Yep. Just a reminder, Mary Byrne and Alicia Carl are going to be with us after the quiz. And we have two quizzers standing by. And there is a prize for one of them to win. And it is a two-night stay for two people in the Kilkenny Hibernian Hotel, located in the middle of Kilkenny City. So everything is at a walking distance. So Kilkenny Castle and everything, the shopping and all that sort of thing. It's a two-night stay for two people and then dinner on one of the evenings in the Brasserie. KilkennyHibernianHotel.com. KilkennyHibernianHotel.com. And thanks to everybody down there for helping us out this week. And we say good afternoon to Kayleigh Smith. How are you doing, Kayleigh?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Good. Whereabouts are you in the country?
I'm in County Kilkenny.
New Rath?
Yes.
Right, where's New Rath?
You can say Waterford or County Kilkenny. So,
all right,
whichever
John,
you prefer.
You're on the border?
Yes.
Right. So you're sort of near Carrigonshire, no?
About 15 minutes away, I think, yeah.
Okay, New Ross?
About 20.
Mullinavat, let's keep doing this. This is a good game, isn't it? No, it's not really. So what are you up to? You're one of the people who is on your Easter holidays.
Yes, I'm off for 2 weeks, thank God.
Yeah, primary school teacher.
Primary school, yeah.
What was there a giddiness in school today?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say there was much work done now, was there?
Not a lot, no. More movies and...
Yeah, what did you watch?
And things. Oh, the kids said, what did you want to watch today? It was Despicable Me today.
All right, a great movie. There's something in there for adults as well. what do you do when they're watching the movie?
Correct some work and...
Yeah,
you know, try not to sit back and watch the movie and actually get on with some work.
But yeah.
I'm tired.
How are you going to occupy yourself now? You're going to rest yourself, obviously, but how else are you going to occupy yourself for the Easter holidays?
We have my mum's 60th in 2.5 weeks.
Right.
And tomorrow we're actually going to see the alpacas in Wicklow.
Oh, brilliant.
So yeah, that would be fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you get to lead them up the Wicklow Mountains, don't you? We had that man on the telly, I think.
Yeah, you can walk them and feed them, yes, and pet them and
yeah.
Maybe bring one home.
And get loads of selfies.
Yeah.
A good photo opportunity there. Yeah, so that'd be nice. And happy birthday to your mum. Does she have a name?
It's Caroline.
Caroline, happy birthday to you. And Kayleigh, you're up against Maria McCann in Goree, County Wexford, not too far away from you. How are you doing, Maria?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good.
Good.
What are you up to today? Good.
I'm just in the last hour and a half of work now, just finishing up.
Right, you're public,
for the weekend.
You're a public health nurse.
I am, yeah. I'm a public health nurse down here in Goree.
Which is a very important job.
Yeah, it is important. I suppose we do a fairly necessary job, all
yes,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
People at home,
yeah.
In their homes and out of hospital.
And would it be true, Maria, that for some of the people you're meeting, you're probably their only company? in a week.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there are some people, and definitely we're the only ones that they might see once or twice a week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Us and the postman.
Does that put a bit of pressure on you, or is that, you know, a privilege?
It can do, but it is also a privilege, you know.
Yeah.
It's an important job, and sometimes it's not just going in to dress the wound or give the injection. It goes a little bit beyond.
Exactly. It's the chat, isn't it?
And it's a little bit of social, yeah.
Yeah, and a listening ear. You bring a listening ear with you. Yeah, yeah.
That's it, absolutely.
How are we on the quizzes, Maria?
And wouldn't be great, but you're especially on a Friday evening after a heavy day.
Kayleigh, how are you on the quizzes?
I don't know. Maybe if they're primary level.
I'm just looking
that's
at
it,
the.
I'd be on for that too.
I'm looking at the year, right? Okay. Well, good luck to you both. Three clips. If you go for a short clip, you get 2 points. You go for a longer clip, it's easier. You only get 1 point. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's a draw on points, we go to a tie-break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Okay. Kayleigh Smith, to you first. The year is 2012.
Okay.
And we're at the movies for the first question. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll try the short one.
Okay. This comedy starring Mark Wahlberg was a film for adults about a man and his favourite stuffed toy. Can you name the movie? And here's your short clip.
You mean everything to me. So does Laurie. I mean, I'm just trying to find a way to keep you both in my life.
I think that's the Ted movie.
It is the Ted movie. Yes, 2 points for you. Well done. Good start. Maria, under pressure from the off. 2012 at the movies. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short, please.
Okay. This 2012 drama romance starred Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence. And she won an Oscar for her performance. What's the name of the movie? Here's your short clip for 2 points.
This is my neighborhood. You just ran by my house.
I like to run by myself, okay?
Me too.
Any ideas?
Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, is it?
Yeah.
2012. No, I don't know that one.
Silver Linings Playbook.
I've never got it.
If you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch. It's a real feel-good movie. So there you go.
Okay.
So no points, but a good recommendation from me. Okay, so...
Thank you.
Okay, Kayleigh, you're on two. Good. Maria, you're yet to get on the scoreboard. We're back to Kayleigh for question number two. It's on music. Do you want to go long or short?
I'll try the short.
Short again. Okay, this song was a huge hit for an Irish band in 2012. Can you name the song or the band?
Yeah, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong.
Say again?
The Script.
It is the Script Hall of Fame. Yes, well done. Another two for you. Maria, under pressure. So music, do you want to go long or short?
I'll go short.
Short again. Okay. This song made an Irish country music hero out of a Liverpudlian. Can you name the song or the singer? Here we go.
With flowers and I'm hoping for rally so I can see my baby tonight.
I think it's Nathan Carter.
It is Nathan Carter with Wagon Wheel. Yes, well done. 2 points for that. You're on the scoreboard. Okay, 4-2.
Thank you.
Kayleigh, if you get anything out of this question, Maria can't catch you. That's correct, isn't it? Yeah, I've done my maths on that. So you can go long or short. As long as you get it right, you're today's winner.
So if I go long and I get it right, I'm still going to win, am I?
Yes, you are. Yes, yes, you are.
All right, then. We'll try the long one.
Okay, try the long one. Okay. In 2012, the Irish soccer team had a dismal performance in the European Championships in Poland, losing all three games. One former player made headlines when he talked about Irish supporters. Can you name him? And here is your long clip.
No, listen, I'm not too happy with all that nonsense again. And praise the supporters for the sake of it. Listen, let's change that attitude towards Irish supporters as well. Listen, they want to see the team winning as well. Let's not kid ourselves. I know we're a small country and, listen, we're up against it. But let's not just go along for the sing song every now and again.
Who's that?
Is it Roy M. Keane?
It is Roy M. Keane, yes. I don't know what his initial is. You get a point, makes you today's winner. Sorry about that, Maria.
No problem at all, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook. No silver lining for you.
Yep.
But we're going to say, well, there is silver lining. We're sending you out two Ray D'Arcy Show mugs.
Two rays. No bother at all.
Have a lovely weekend.
Thank you very much.
Lovely talking to you.
Thanks too.
Thanks, Maria. Bye.
Bye.
Kayleigh Smith.
Poor Maria won't like that song now anymore, so she won't.
No, she won't. No, she won't like that album, that movie. She hasn't seen it, or she would have got it right.
Yeah, movie.
Now, Kayleigh Smith, you were on your way to the Kilkenny Hibernian Hotel with a person of your choice for two nights. So enjoy
lovely,
that.
Lovely, that's great. I'll bring my mum for her birthday.
Ah, lovely, lovely. And enjoy your Easter holidays.
Thanks a million.
See you, Kayleigh. Bye, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Watched it last week for the first time, laughed and cried, says Fiona. That's Silver Linings Playbook, good movie. And Andy, fantastic music, really enjoyed hearing them, says somebody. And somebody else says Andy's voice is unique. Happy birthday from Sheila in Leitrim. Now, two ladies have joined me in studio. There's a waft of perfume.
What can you say?
That's definitely Mary.
Mary Byrne and Eilish O'Carroll. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you too, sir.
Yeah, great to see both of you. And you're coming together to star in a play called Waiting for...
Plenty of Gattos.
Waiting for Gatto. Well, just the title alone. You don't need the headphones, Eilish.
I don't.
No, you don't. No. We're not talking.
It makes me feel important when I put the headphones on. And I thought I could stand in for you. You know what I mean? If you want to have a break, do you want to go and have a coffee? We'll take over. No problem whatsoever.
This could be the beginning of something.
I'm telling you.
I think so too.
You haven't worked together before, have you?
No.
We've rehearsed together for another play, but we never got a chance to actually perform it. And I am beyond excited to be working with Mary.
Me too. I mean, we just...
To be working with yourself or to be working with
Eilish? To be working with Eilish.
Yeah, exactly.
We met and it was just like we clicked, didn't
we? Clicked immediately.
The two of us are scorpions, right? And the two of us have the same sense of humour.
Okay, well, that's
we
great.
We kill each other and have a great
time. We're Dublin
time.
Girls, yeah, so we know how to have a fight.
Yeah.
Right. Don't draw blood. Whatever you do, don't draw blood. And other than that, we're fine. We kiss and make up and we're great.
That's right. The way life is.
Great. So you haven't even started rehearsals for this yet?
No, we start on the... Is it the 2nd?
The 2nd of May.
So what do you know about it then?
Well, we know it's very funny and we know we're the stars. And we know it's going to be only massive. It's going to be really, really funny. It's a show, obviously, a play about diets. And everybody at some point in their life has been on a diet.
Every day, Mary.
Yeah. Every day.
So it's a slimming club.
It is a slimming club. Yes. And the funny thing is, Eilish's character in it, at the very beginning of the play, comes out singing about chocolate and cakes and Toblerones and all that type of stuff.
These
so straight away, there's the recipe for the laughter.
Favourite things, yeah. Kit Kats and Munchies.
Is that it?
That's the song, yeah.
Right. Yeah, this, and it's lovely, and she's getting all ready for him, putting her menu up for the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's a light-hearted, entertaining show.
It has toured Great Britain before with other people.
It did tour Great Britain, and I believe it went to the States, but I'm not absolutely certain about that.
So people know it works.
People know it works.
It gets laughs.
But it's going to be even better.
Of course.
Ray, but you know, I have to say, because the two of us, you know, love a laugh,
I
think we can bring our own entertainment to the play and make it probably more funnier for the Irish people.
Yes, and what about corpsing? You know, is that
I didn't even know what corpsing was until she told me yesterday. No, and I've done it. I've actually done it. I've actually been doing the play called Dirty Dustin.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the girls that was with me fell off the chair. And all I could do was stand in the middle of the room while these two over here trying to do the lines and go into convulsions of laughter.
Yeah,
I looked down at her and she's in convulsions of laughter. So the audience then went into convulsions of laughter.
Yes.
I didn't know that's what it was.
It's contagious.
Yeah.
And of course, you'd be used to corpsing with Brendan O'Carroll.
With Brendan, you have no choice, do you? And it comes at you at the most unexpected times. And no matter how strong you are, and I try, Winnie tries very hard not to corpse. But there have been a couple of occasions when he has really caught me and I haven't been able to hold it.
I think it's half okay when it's a comedy. Imagine if you were doing some serious play.
You know what I mean? Imagine.
And in the middle of it, you've got a fit of the giggles. It's like getting a fit of the giggles at a funeral.
It is. And I've done that as well.
And I've... It's over?
Yeah.
Was it your mother's? Because it was my mother's.
I don't know whose it was.
Did you get a fit of the giggles?
I did, I got a fit of the giggles. What happened? And again, Brendan, we're both sitting down, or kneeling down, I should say, and all the family are there. He's beside me. And the priest starts talking about my mother, this wonderful woman, and, you know, mother of 10 children, a TD, and all that. He's going through the whole lot. And she was absolutely amazing, a great friend. And he looks at me and he goes, I think we're at the wrong funeral. Well, I just collapsed laughing, right? My uncle, who's behind me, thinks I'm crying, right? And he gets up and he's holding me, going, it's okay, love, it's okay. And I'm going, oh. So yeah, that was. And the next one was, we were at the graveyard. Right. And
oh, you laughed twice at your mother's funeral.
Oh, twice. And she was being put into the grave, you know, along with my dad. My dad had been buried years earlier. And down she goes, and he said, oh my God, he's not going to be happy. And I said, why? He said, because they're opposite ends. And he said, mind you, maybe that's a blessing, he said, because she'd be eating his ear off at this stage. So it was... He brought a lightheartedness to it. And I mean, he was devastated, obviously.
Course,
but anyway, that's the end of the funny story.
I think you have to. I mean, I remember at my mother's funeral, just funny enough, when you said it, getting up to go to the priest to give him the communion thing, and I fell over my father's walking stick. And of course, the priest went into convulsions of laughter, and my father went into convulsions of laughter, and I'm standing on one knee on the ground. And, you know, Thomas said, it's about time now you got to pop that knee. He said, you'd be grand in a minute. But what can you do?
Well, you see, it's the emotion of the whole thing, isn't it? And it needs a sort of an escape valve.
I think that tears and laughter, there's a very close line between the two. Yeah. And I mean, how many times have your mother said to you, this is going to end up in tears now when you're laughing so much at the dinner table. Now, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, this is going to end up in tears. And it normally does.
Yeah. So this won't end in tears. There'll be lots of laughs. Wait, I'm just going to do the plug now in case I forget it, because we've loads of things to talk about. Waiting for Gatto, coming to the Dunamais Arts Centre from the 19th to 21st of May, and that's in Portlaoise.
Yes.
And then are you bringing it around the pens, or are you?
Hopefully, yes. Well, this is a limited.
Yes, 19th, 21st of May.
He did say, young Richard, that the young man who's doing this is an up and coming star. There's no doubt about it.
He's a director.
He's 21 years of age, but he has.
What?
Yes.
Yes.
How dare he?
Yes, I'm telling you. He has a head on his shoulders.
When I
that's
met
incredible.
Him and I wanted to put him in my pocket. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, he can't be serious. And I thought, do you know his enthusiasm, his heart, his spirit, everything about him.
But he's detailed to everything.
Success.
So you've worked with him before?
I've worked on Doughty Dustin. And the first day we went in to do the press conference, I mean, for a young man, he had the suit on, he had the photographer's there, he had everything laid out. Then we went in to do rehearsals. Every costume you were going to wear was ready and ready to go.
Yeah.
So he literally puts his whole heart and soul into it.
He loves what he does.
Yeah.
And that comes across. It's his life. Yeah. And I mean, 21 years of age. God, what is he going to be when he's
19 when I met him. He was 19 doing Dirty Dustin. Yeah. And we got standing ovations everywhere we went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just where we're on ages.
No, we're not going to talk. We're going to say age is just a number.
Yeah, well, then give us the number then.
You know, you can pick a number you want. I'm going to stay the same age for the next 10 years, right?
I'm 62.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And I'm the 62, are you married?
Yes, there.
Well, there you go. So anyway, moving swiftly on.
But you have a significant
birthday. Everybody thinks it's this year that I had a significant birthday. Actually, it was last year.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And I hit the big 7-0. Right. And I have to say, I went there screaming.
Did you?
Yeah. I think it just suddenly dawned on me and I thought, my God, 70. You can't be 70. And I am. And my family wouldn't let me forget it.
I'm in shock.
Are you in shock? Oh, you see, I love her. And she's getting her eyes tested tomorrow. So I celebrated the big 7-0. And I was talking to Connor earlier on today. Yeah. And I said, you know, we thought it was this year. And I said, well, it is this year as well. I'm going to be celebrating it this year and next year and the year after.
Yeah. And keep 70 till you're 90.
So, until I'm 90.
We were talking to the brilliant Andy Irvine.
Yeah.
So he's 80 in June.
Yeah.
He's having a gig in Vicar Street. But he was saying that as he's got older, time has sort of accelerated.
Yes.
And it does. And apparently, scientifically, that's true.
Oh, is it right?
Now, I don't know how they work on that. But apparently, you know, as you get older, time does speed up.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When I was about 7 or 8, I used to hang around with this guy called Johnny Osborne. Right. And I remember his mum one day explained to us why time moves more quickly when you're older.
Right.
When you're five, right, 1 year is a fifth of your life.
Yes.
When you're 70, it's only 1/70th.
Thanks sorry, for the sorry, reminder. Sorry, sorry, thank you. Sorry. And that's
why. That was really nice of you to tell us. Are we going on? You already done?
That's why, you know, it does seem to speed up.
But it does. Yeah. I mean, I remember being 21 and coming up to be 24th, and really, you know, waiting for it. And it seemed to be taking forever because I wanted to be the grown up.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it's there. And then the next couple of years, you're 25 and you're going, what happened when I was 21? You know?
Children accelerate it as well, don't they? They speed it up.
Yeah. Hugely. Yeah. Yes. And you're so busy wearing them, you don't realise that how many years it has taken. Mm. And when it's only when you're looking back and you go, I mean, my son, believe it or not, is 50 this year.
What?
My daughter's 34. I can't believe this.
Now,
it's just,
I, you know, I had him at 12, but it doesn't matter. He's 50 this year. He's 50 this year. And I can't believe, I look at him and I go, I can't comprehend.
Is he still your baby?
Oh, God, yeah.
They'll
never stop being your babies. No. That's the thing, do they?
Yeah, no.
They will never stop being. I worry about them, and when they phone, if they feel sound a bit down, you know, and I'd say, are you all right, pet?
Yeah.
Right, and I have to remind myself, and he says, oh, well, you know, the job is getting me down or whatever. And I go, you know, well, you change your job, sweetheart. Oh, yeah. I don't want you under pressure. Yeah. And I'm going, the man is nearly 50 years of age. He doesn't need in guidance.
Well, he does. He wouldn't share it with you if he didn't want your advice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's why we miss, you know, our parents so much, because they do really, you're still their babies no matter what age you become. Yeah. I mean, my dad died in 2004 and I was 40.
Yes.
And I felt like a lost child.
An orphan.
I felt so sad and so lonely. That's really a baby, you know?
Yeah.
So.
You lost
I lost two sisters and a sister-in-law over the last couple of years during the pandemic. Right. And that was really hard, Ray, because the hardest part being that the Irish and our culture, we send off our people, we get together and we grieve together. Mm. And that starts the grieving, the individual grieving process. And of course, we didn't have that.
Yes.
So I was saying to Mary just before I came in, I think it's only now I'm beginning to really grieve. It's like it's hitting me. So we get a chance to say goodbye to all three on the 30th of April.
Was there 10 in your family?
10.
Yeah. And how many are still living?
How many's
now?
Left now? 1, 2, 3, 6. Right. 6. Okay. 4. I've lost 4. And that's hard to take as well.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of accept parents, don't you, Mary? Because
you lost your sister, did you?
My sister's in a home.
Oh, she's in a home. Right,
yeah,
right.
She since her husband died, she's now in a wheelchair. She doesn't really know us, and so it's like you know, I know the grief.
Yes, no, but that's
I'm
what
grieving
they say.
Now, even though she's still alive.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think this is what we need to do. We need to grieve, and I think this is why there's so much depression about now today in Ireland. We have a pandemic of mental health issues now, which we really have to kind of
because we didn't get to do the normal stuff for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And that's so good for the spirit and the soul. You need to get it out. You need to be able to express it, and you need to be able to put your arms around your loved ones and say we're okay. And it's
that was the maddest thing, because I was at not a huge amount of funerals, but a few, because the numbers were limited. But that natural urge to hug somebody.
Yes. And you couldn't do it.
Yes.
That was very scary.
Oh, that was the hardest thing for me.
You were sort of going, you were stopping yourself.
And my brother, Michael, lost his wife, Lord Rester, and he had to keep her eulogy down to 3 minutes.
Right, because
And as he said, because of COVID. And as he said, I had to work on it for hours, he said. And then suddenly it came to me. And he said, so he explained her life in 3 minutes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The first minute when they first met, the kids. Oh, it was so sad, Ray. Really was.
Because it's more difficult to edit it down, isn't it, than to
hugely speak difficult for 20 to edit minutes. Down. Yeah. And then to speak for 20 minutes. Because he wanted to get every point. He wanted to include everything. And that must have been really hard. Yeah. But the hardest thing was, I couldn't hug him.
Yeah.
Because you can say all the things and words are important, but human contact.
Yes.
We're a pack animal and we need it.
Yeah.
Right? We need those strokes.
We do need to touch each other. Yeah.
So
I'm going to touch you after the show.
When is your...
Just thought I'd let you know that.
Thanks for the minute and a half warning, Mary. I don't know how I'm going to prepare myself.
Under the table. We're free.
Mary, get up.
Poor Ray, I give him a terrible time. I love him.
It's taking a bad turn, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
No. The tickets, I think you have, I don't know what you have where you
yes,
get the tickets.
Yes, it's dunamaze.ie, and yeah. I expect to hear a podcast from you too after this, because you're a perfect match, the two of you.
Thank you very much.
I think we do a great podcast.
So too, yeah. I think we'll have to
and
do
like
a
we've done in the last 15 minutes there, you can do anything. You yes, can yeah. The serious stuff, the funny stuff, and that's
absolutely.
But that's life, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is, no, and that's what
people
want to hear.
You're just giving Richard another idea there. Yeah. Right? There I hope he's not listening.
I hope he is listening. That'd be a great idea.
There's great potential there. Yeah, a local there radio is. Station, the 2EE. Yeah, yeah.
Fab.
Yeah. So dunamaze.ie, it's the 19th to 21st. Waiting for Gatto, as in French for cake.
Yes.
And it stars Eilish O'Carroll. Thank you very much, Eilish O'Carroll.
Thank you.
And Mary Byrne. Yay. Mary Byrne. Yes, we have a bit of music to send us off.
Don't want us to dance as well.
Stuff.
That's it from us. Have a great weekend. Sarah and Cormac are on the way, and we are back on Monday. Whatever you're doing, do it safely. Don't have time for the Pointer Sisters. We play that on Monday or maybe Tuesday. Good luck.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.